Folks, this is Luke Clayton, and this segment we call Campfire Talk with Larry Wysoon and myself. We've been bringing it to you a long time, over 6 years now. It's brought to us by the Dallas Safari Club, Kuby Sausage House, and Kuby's Game Processing in Dallas. Larry's TV show, Trailing the Hunter's Moon, Sightmark, maker of the Photon XT that I use for all of my night hunting, and the awesome Scissor Blind Elevated Work Platform for the farm or ranch by Innovative Equipment. Well, folks, guess what time it is? It is now time for Campfire Talk. Mr. Larry Wysoon is with us at the campfire. We're going to have some fun. There's no telling where our conversation is going to go. Larry, thanks for being here, buddy.
As we've said so very often many times before, this is one of the favorite things I get to do, by golly, is spend time with you and all of our listeners out there and just kind of visit a little bit about hunting and a few other things.
Yeah, just there's a lot of fun stuff that's going on in the outdoors, and it's this is an opportunity for kind of for very much an unscripted visit. Oh, you know, I'll tell you, Larry, and I bet a lot of our listeners will remember when you and I hunted with Jeff Rice down in near Lake
Fork. Oh, yes, sir.
Yeah. Jeff had his dad down from Minnesota and sent me a picture of a nice boar he killed. I think I forwarded that picture on to you.
I remember that photo extremely well. I mean, it was one of the boar, not only in terms of size and all that, but also in terms of color. I mean, good gosh, he looked, of course, I like those European-looking hogs. And
yeah.
He looked exactly like some of those hogs I've seen over in Europe.
You know, that's the point. That's one reason I wanted you to see that picture, because you saw when we were hunting up there back in the late winter, you saw a boar several boars that had that European look.
And yes, sir.
And most of the hogs out of that area do. And that particular hog that Jeff's dad shot, he was, I know that if you were in Austria or somewhere on a big estate and you saw that one, he'd look like all the rest. You know, it had,
yes, he would.
Had that look, didn't he?
He does have that look. It's amazing. I mean, somewhere down the way, somewhere back in the way, somebody had to release some hogs. I know at one point there was a pretty big push, back in the 70s and middle 70s, early 80s, long and through there. Yeah, maybe even a little bit earlier in some areas, there were people buying, sure enough, purebred European hogs and turning them loose. You know, and it was their kind of way, in some instances, of kind of upgrading the hogs when then you just adopt.
Mm-hmm. Right. There was a ranch, or there still is a ranch. You know, Larry, folks, Larry's on his cell phone right here with us, and we can hear 98% of everything. Occasionally our signal's a little bit weak, but we know how to deal with that. We're gonna just keep visiting. But there's a ranch down around Pennington, which is not too far out of Crockett, that used to specialize in they would import, or I don't think they had to import, and they'd buy pure breed European boar. They'd buy the hogs. And then they had a hybrid program going where they'd breed them with ferals, you know, feral hogs. And
yes,
I was actually got in there and they had probably a 2-acre pen where they kept these hogs, and then they would turn out the hybrids on their ranch to hunt is what they were doing. But those were the same hogs, you know, and that you would encounter in Siberia or wherever, or Europe, you know. And they were woolly, and they had an inner layer of hair, like almost like wool. Then
they had the
long guard hairs, you know, on them. But they were a little different looking, but they all looked like we were talking about, very much like those hogs up at Lake Fork. But anyway, you know, Larry, we've talked so much visiting around the real campfire and all through the years, but the trackers in Africa, I think that's always fascinated me, and I've never been over there to see them actually at work. But I've talked to you and many other friends that's been to Africa and seen them in action. You know, folks in the U.S., most of us that's hunted all of our lives, well, we like to, you know, consider ourselves an average tracker following a blood trail. But those guys over there are uncanny in their ability to track wounded game, aren't they?
You know what? They really are. A lot of those guys, they start out tracking as little kids. I mean, their mom and dad puts them in charge of a goat herd, and they've got to stay up with those goats. And then if one wanders off, they're responsible for finding that goat. And, I mean, some of those parents over there can be pretty harsh when it comes to kids not finding goats. And so they learn very quickly that they're going to get in trouble really, really bad if they don't find those goats once they get away from them. So I'm sure that has something to do with it. But at the same time, you know, those folks, they live out in the bush. And we live in town, and we follow trail, and we think our trails are generally paved, you know.
Exactly,
kind of thing. And whereas they are continually following tracks all the time when they're little kids, and it gives them something to do. And as they grow older, they become even better at it, and, you know, learn a few things. And then they learn the habitat and the habits and the traits kind of the animals that they hunt. And so a lot of it is knowing the animals, knowing the terrain, knowing what those animals do at a certain time of the day. But again, those guys are absolutely phenomenal. I've been out with several of them where, say, we were on the track of a particular, maybe a buffalo or maybe a kudu or something like that. And all you see is basically sometimes, they'll ask them to show me what they're looking at. I mean, it looks like they're looking at just plain ground, and they'll find where one little leaf was bent on a piece of grass. But then what really amazes me, I mean, when you show you, they can show you that, you know, and say, okay, he walked here, he stepped here, you know, he brushed against this side of a limb over here, but you can see where the limb kind of got scraped on some of the mud that was on the animal and those kind of things. But what really amazes me is when they get in a situation where that animal goes through a herd of basically the same animals or maybe even some different animals, and there's just the ground is obliterated with tracks, and they'll just stay right on the track of that animal and pick it up where that, you know, past where that herd was. And it's just amazing. I guess it comes with a lot of experience. I guess it comes with, again, knowing that animal's probably going to try to go find a place to bed down at a certain time of day, and they know where that animal likes. So I think there's a little bit of that goes into it. But I've seen those guys follow tracks across rocks. I mean, just a solid slab of rock sometimes. And sure enough, I mean, you go follow them for 100 to 250 yards in that kind of situation, and you pick up, you know, where it gets back on soft ground, and away we go again. There's just something special about those guys.
There is, you know, as close as I can come to knowing someone that's like that here in the U.S., here in Texas, actually, is a friend, Mark Billette. And you know Mark, you've been around him.
Absolutely,
a little bit. He has
a
hunting ranch down in Trinity County. But the ranch encompasses probably 2,500 acres. But Mark's got, I don't know, it's several miles of high fence in typical old Southeast Texas country, yopon, pines, hardwoods, creeks, you know, just regular old that kind of country. But lots of times I've seen Mark, of course, he knows that, he knows every water hole, every trail, but someone would hit a hog with, say, a bow just before dark.
Right.
And uncannily, Mark can follow those trails, and it really, you've heard, you know, we've talked about hog trails. They're just trails everywhere, but Mark he knows the grounds so well, the area, and the habits of the animals that he can 90% of the time he can you know, get up on the animal again, recover it, you know. But that's probably part of it with the African trackers. They're so knowledgeable at reading sign, but also knowing the animals, like you say, Larry, knowing the habits of the animals and what they're going to be looking for, if they're going to be going to water if they're wounded or whatever. I would love to see those guys in action. I know they're that's probably a skill, like you say, that they develop from childhood, you know?
They do. I mean, it's interesting. You got like two or three trackers and hunting maybe like one particular animal. And what you'll find is that there'll be one or two that actually stay on the track. And a lot of times the third tracker, he'll just kind of go off in a straight line because he's got a pretty good idea as to where this animal's going to go to. And, I mean, a lot of times those animals kind of meander back and forth between two different points. We got on a lion track that Tim Fallon was on. We were in Burkina Faso, up kind of in the northwestern part of Africa, three or four years ago. And this lion, that whose track we were on, would meander back and forth between two rivers, just kind of sweep back and forth, make big kind of loops going back and forth. We kept on the track and kept on the track and couldn't catch up with them. And finally, we visited with the trackers a little bit and says, is there any way that we might just go straight? And so we just started going straight. And sure enough, you know, they picked up the track and we were able to get on the line doing it that way. So sometimes, you know, it was very interesting watching those guys work that track. But at the same time that we had a third tracker there that we visited with, he decided the best thing for us to do is just go straight. And once we just went straight, we started picking up those tracks a little bit quicker, a little bit faster, where that just all we did is made a straight line right through, you know, some loops going back and forth.
Yeah, yeah.
That came to also knowing the habits of those animals, knowing what that lion was doing, just working from one creek, going back to the other creek, going back to the other creek, you know, just the same creek back and forth. And then, But I've seen those guys go through, follow one animal through a herd of other animals and just to be amazed at tracks and then pick it up on the other side.
That's
amazing. And how they do that, that's the part that amazes me.
It is, Larry. Well, you know, we're almost out of time for our segment here this week, but I want to make sure and remind everyone that doesn't watch your TV show or may not know about it, Trailing the Hunter's Moon on the Sportsman's Channel. Remind them to listen to that. And if they want to connect with you, Larry, they can go to your website, right?
They can go to the website and send me an email there. Of course, they can get in touch with me, you know, through catfishradio.com as well, too. And go to our Facebook, DSC's Trailing the Hunter's Moon, and see what kind of Ruger rifles we're using and Hornady ammo. And right now we're into the third quarter, and so we're showing a whole bunch of North American things right now that'll be on between now and the end of the year.
You bet. Well, Larry, thanks again for being with us, and we'll be right back here, folks, with Larry this time next week. That's right, Larry. And, folks, we are just about out of time. Larry and I are going to be right here with you next week. I want to remind you about his weekly TV show, Trailing the Hunter's Moon, on the Sportsman's Channel. Make sure and tune into that.
Folks, if you're a shooter, I need to hook you up with Hunter's Supply. Now, Hunter's Supply provides quality cast lead bullets for every facet of the shooting world, from target shooting to hunting. Hunter Supply bullets have been put to the test all over the world. They've taken the Big Five in Africa, as well as a lot of moose and grizzly bear in North America. Single action cowboy shooters get their bullets from Hunter's Supply, as well as air rifle shooters. You can go online to huntersupply.com and check them out. When you make an order, you need to be aware that the shipping is included in the price of the bullets.
Folks, if you hunt hogs very much, I probably don't need to tell you that they become almost entirely nocturnal with the least bit of pressure. I use a Photon XT night scope. Actually, you can use the Photon during the day. I've actually sighted mine in during the daylight hours. You can shoot with it just as well during the daylight hours as you can at night. But at night, it becomes really golden. You can buy the Photon XT for around $500. I'll direct you where you can find it and look at it. Go online to sightmark.com. Click All Products and then Night Vision, and then look at the Photon XT. It's an affordable unit. There's all kind of different night hunting options when you get there, binoculars, everything that you can imagine for hunting at night. Just go online to sightmark.com and learn all about it. Folks, at the Dallas Safari Club Convention this year, I discovered an awesome new scissor blind made by Innovative Equipment. Now, you can mount this onto your UTV. You can go out to your hunting area, and it'll raise you up to 18 feet in elevation above the mesquite trees or whatever you're hunting in. Makes an awesome hunting blind. Comes with a camo netting around it, you know. But it's also a very, very stable work platform for your farm or ranch. It has outriggers that make it really stable and level, all automatic. They put me up in it in the Dallas Safari Club, and I was very impressed with it. But check it out online at IEQUIPT.com, IEQUIPT.com, or call 888-359-3002. Locate a dealer near you and go and check these out. I guarantee you you'll like them. Folks, if you're having trouble with your feeders, I want to hook you up with Carl Harmon that owns Ultramatic Feeders. Carl makes a line of feeders that I've been using them for, gosh, well over 12 years, maybe a little bit more than that. They work every time. He also makes the timer that is easy to set, goes off every time. You can set it on multiple feedings. And he also makes the eliminator. Now, the eliminator mounts to the quarter-inch spinner shaft off the motor and works on centrifugal force. It seals the flow of corn off completely when the feeder stops spinning. So, you know, that combination is a winning deal. Go online to ultramaticfeeders.com, check them out, or just give Carl a call at 877-428-4637.